We've been studying this for several services, and I have just a few verses left to finish as we've walked our way through Revelation 4, and I want to try to bring this to a close to you tonight, give you some things to ponder on our thought, thanking Him that sits on the throne, thanking Him that sits on the throne. Now, who's sitting on the throne? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not Allah. It is not Buddha. It is not some God of the Old Testament, some idol that had been worshipped, Molech or Dagon. The one sitting on the throne, and by the way, there's a single one, John saw sitting on the throne. It's not a shared throne. It's not a throne or a, it's not a round table of political leaders that are all trying to work together to call the shots. He's one on the throne, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're thankful this evening that we know Him. In Revelation 4, John is called up into heaven. And in this revelation of Jesus Christ, he's going to receive over these chapters throughout the book of Revelation. This revelation now is the scene of the church in glory with their Savior. And as he looks, he sees Christ, he sees the elders, he sees these angelic beasts numbered at four that are flying round the throne. They're giving glory to the Lord in verse number 8, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Verse 9, 10, and 11, I want to look at this evening. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne, worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Thanking Him that sits on the throne. We find here the three bestowments in verse number 9 that are given to Christ. Namely that they give Him glory, number 1. They give Him honor, number 2. And lastly, the Bible said they're giving Him thanks. Grateful language, an expression of words coming out of their heart, through their vocal cords and off of their lips, being delivered to Jesus Christ on the throne. What are they saying? They're saying, "Thank you." They're saying, "Lord, we are grateful and we have an appreciation that we want to express to you. As you sit on the throne, we will take our place before you simply to give you thanks." And understanding this is a text that is yet to come as far as the future event, no doubt that it take place at the rapture of the church and the people of God. And what a day that is going to be. And when we get to heaven, we don't know all the things that we're going to do. We do know we're going to sing, and we do know we're going to serve, and we do know that in some measure, some way, we're going to rule and reign with the Lord forever and ever. I don't know what all that will entail, but I do know this. There'll be nothing we do in heaven's fair eternal land that'll be greater than that of us being able to come by the throne of Him that sits upon the throne of glory just to say one more time, "Lord, I just can't thank you enough. I just can't praise you enough. I just want to thank you one more time." And so thanking Him that sits on the throne. He's not just going to sit on the throne in days to come. He sits on the throne tonight. And the things that they're thanking Him for in Revelation 4, I believe are things that we have to thank Him for even in this hour in which we are alive tonight. So it's right. We've been emphasizing it's right to tell the Lord thank you. It's right to thank the one who sits on the throne of heaven, the throne of our life, the throne of the church, the throne of all that we are in the family of God and of the people of God to say thank you and to give thanks to Him. It is right, and it is something that He desires. And we ought to do this, and we ought to do it now so we're not strangers to it on the other side. And so we're looking at the thought, thanking Him that sits on the throne. Why are they thanking Him in Revelation 4? And is there anything about why, amen, they're thanking Him in that future day that we can thank Him for tonight? Amen. We said, number one, verses 1-4, they're thanking Him for the salvation He has provided. Amen. The 24 elders, that is a depiction of you and I, the redeemed of God. They're they that know the message of Calvary, the message of Christ slain as a lamb and giving His blood as a ransom for our redemption. Amen. They sing about it in Revelation 5, and in Revelation 4, their thanks, I believe, is being given. As they understand, you take salvation out of their life, they do not know the One who sits on the throne. And so tonight, no matter what is going on in our life, we can always thank God for the salvation that He has provided. And then this last Sunday night, we embarked upon the second cause that inspired their gratitude. Namely, not only the salvation He has provided, but they're thanking Him for the examination He has passed. There is an inspection being done in Revelation chapter number 4 that John is privy to. In the four beasts, they are full of eyes before and behind. They each have six wings. They're flying, and within their wings, the Bible said they are full of eyes. These are creatures of observation. These are created beasts, if you will, as John describes them, that seem to have for a purpose, a ministry of simply examining and testifying of what they see in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they examine Him, there are three declarations that we said that they make of what Christ has passed even in our own life. Number one, He is the perfect One. Holy, holy, holy. There is no fault in Him. There is no sin in Him. He is the powerful One, for as they observe Him night and day, they declare He is the Lord God Almighty. And that is, there's no weakness in Him. And buddy, I'm telling you, there is no weakness in our God. His arm is not shortened that it cannot save. He's never heard a prayer request and He had to scratch His head and wonder how He was going to deal with it. Amen. There ain't never been a bill He couldn't pay. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And my granddaddy used to say, He owns, not only the cattle on 1,000 hills, He owns the hills, and He owns the taters under the hills. I'm glad, amen, my God can take good care of us. He is powerful. He is the powerful One. There is no weakness in Him. And then He is the perpetual One, we said on Sunday evening. Amen. For as they examine Him, they say which was and is to come. And that declares that there is no end to Him, or there is no change in Him. He is consistent. He is perpetual. He is the One that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. The One that helped us through our yesterday is the One that is helping us today. And right now, while He's helping us today, He's waiting on our tomorrow, amen, for you and I to get there. He is the perpetual One. There is no end and there is no change in our God. And so this is the One that sits on the throne. Amen. Who else are you going to find that you can thank for these kind of things? Amen. They ain't a man among us. There's not a man in our county. There's not a individual in our state. There's not one great enough among our nation tonight or in our generation, amen, that could live up to passing this examination. And so Christ should be thanked for simply who that He is. Examination He has passed. Now for a moment tonight, amen, let me deal with this thought. They are thanking Him for the coronation he has presented. The coronation he has presented. The Bible is pretty clear that as they began to give him glory and honor and thanks, notice the Bible said that they're doing it to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. And so Christ here is seen in this matter of giving thanks. He is seen upon the throne. He is seen here as the Lord over fallen creation that had been cursed by sin. And here, amen, as it is being restored to the original divine purpose of its creator, amen, John said it is there that they realize who really deserves their gratitude and deserves their thanks. And they give him thanks because of the coronation he has presented. I know tonight that God is on the throne, and I believe that by faith. I believe that because the Bible says it so. I believe that tonight, amen, because the Holy Ghost has led me to believe that and confess that. You know, the Bible said no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the Spirit of God has worked in my life so that I can confidently say, amen, no matter what is going on in the world tonight, no matter what ABC or CBS or NBC or CNN or Fox, amen, or any of the news outlets say, amen, the Holy Ghost has already brought me to a place in my life, amen, to be able to say and to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He has presented himself to the, amen, in that regard in my life. Amen. I'm not making him Lord. Amen. He just is Lord. He is Lord tonight. And because he's Lord, he ought to be thanked for, amen, his lordship and all that comes with that. Amen. And so now in Revelation 4, what we are believing by faith, amen, what we have been led to by the Spirit of God, Brother A.L., one of these days, amen, when we see Jesus, we're going to see him as he is. Amen. He's going to sit on the throne. He's going to have a crown on his head. Amen. And he is going to, my friend, present himself to you and I. Amen. And we will fully see what we have always believed by faith to be so. Amen. That Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Now there's a crowd in the realms of religion. They're debating that. And there's even some dumb Baptists that are debating whether or not Jesus is Lord. But you get it right tonight. Amen. He is Lord, whether you, amen, acknowledge it or don't acknowledge it, whether you accept it or not, amen, whether you feel like it or not, Jesus Christ is Lord. Always has been, is, and evermore shall be. He, amen, is Lord. And it is the Father's will that, amen, all of his creation see him in that light. You say, how do you know that? Because the Apostle Paul said that in light of what Jesus did in going to Calvary and suffering the death of the cross, amen, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, that, amen, God had given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that's the will of God. That is the plan of God. That is the desire, amen, of Christ, Heavenly Father, is that all of creation would bow their knee and make that confession. Amen. But may I say, one of these days, what we have done by faith, we're going to see it with our eye, and we're going to, my friend, amen, I don't know if we can know it any clearer or any greater than we do already, amen, but can you imagine what that's going to be when faith ends and sight begins, and we see the one that, amen, has been Lord all along? You imagine, amen, what that's going to do to overwhelm us? Amen. No wonder we could sing in our heart tonight, amen, as Riley led us in 279. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. Amen. The Lord of glory, the Lord of our life, the Lord of all, amen, that has ever taken place, that, amen, we are going to see Him as He is, amen, and when we see Him as Lord, amen, we're going to get so overwhelmed, according to what John said, amen, that every knee in heaven is going to bow, and every tongue of the 24 elders is going to confess, amen, that Christ should be thanked because He sits on the throne.
Amen.
Amen. Now notice with me at this presentation of His coronation, I'm particularly interested in what the 24 elders say in verse number 11, and then I'll give you a few thoughts and I'm done. Notice what they say. Brother Mike, it just comes flying out of them when they see this. They say, "Thou art worthy." Now they say, "Well, what a big deal. That's a huge deal. Thou art worthy. Amen. Not Moses. This is not directed to Moses, Abraham, Noah, amen, David, Samuel, Nathan, amen, Daniel, and on we could go tonight. Amen. The great heroes of the faith. They and you and I are unworthy. Amen. But the one who rules and reigns and is coronated and has been elevated and all power has been given unto Him in heaven and in earth. Amen. To this presentation that is made to them of who their Savior really and truly is, being coronated as Lord. Amen. They immediately say, "Thou art worthy." Now this word, worthy, it is the Greek word axios. And I know that makes me sound real smart. I'm not that smart. I'm just smart enough, amen, to study a little bit and read and apply some things that I've been taught. Amen. But it's the Greek word axios. You've heard this word used. I won't get into all of that. Amen. There are companies that are named axios. It's a Greek word that literally means worthy. This word axios was used to describe an emperor marching in triumphal procession. Amen. Listen, an emperor, a lord, a king, amen, marching in triumphal procession. Amen. And so evidently when they see the one who is their Savior, when they see the one, my friend, that is the center of all that is taking place in heaven, amen, there is no defeat. There is no, again, no weakness. There is no flaw. There is no, there is nothing, my friend, that would, amen, cause them to turn away from Him. Oh no, when they see Him, He is the Lord in triumphal procession. And as they see Him in victory, they see Him as a conqueror, they see Him, my friend, undefeated, undisputed, they see Him as a champion, they see Him, amen, as a captain, they see Him, amen, standing there is one that has won the war. Amen. And may I say tonight, that is who our Lord is. Amen. He is the great victor. Amen. He's never been defeated. Somebody said, "Well, what are you going to do with Calvary?" Amen. He's the only king that had to die, one songwriter said, for His kingdom to begin. Amen. What looked like to the world that they were bringing defeat to Him and stamping Him out was just simply proven, amen, that He was the Lord of glory. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, our Savior reigns and our Savior is Lord. And, amen. He's not defeated tonight. He's not worried tonight. He's not wringing His hands tonight. He's not in a rocking chair fretting about what is going to be on the morrow. Oh no, friend, He stands in triumphal procession for you and for me. Amen. And you say, "Well, what's that got to do with us?" Amen. It's got everything to do with us, for His victory is our victory. Amen. We're declared to be more than conquerors through Him, amen, that loved us. Amen. If you have an ounce of victory tonight, amen, you ought to fall down on your knees and say, I just want to thank the Lord, amen, that He's on the throne. Amen. Without Him, I'd be defeated. Without Him, I'd be depressed. Amen. Without Him, I wouldn't know what to do. Without Him, amen, I wouldn't have faith that everything's going to be okay. Amen. I'm glad tonight, amen, that He's on the throne and He's there with victory. Amen. He's there, my friend, ruling and reigning in absolute. Amen. There, listen, there's no threat to Him. There ain't nothing making Him tremble. There's nothing making Him afraid. Amen. He ain't got to be concerned about somebody coming along, amen, that's going to, amen, kick Him off the throne. He can't be voted out, amen, because He wasn't voted in the first place. Amen. He's just ruling and reigning, and He's doing it so well that when they see Him, amen, they acknowledge that He not only has victory, but we have shared in the victory that He has provided. Now, don't tell me Christ being Lord is not important in our life. The reason, and Riley, I don't guess Riley knew what all eyes are preaching tonight. Amen, but ain't it amazing? Oh, I want to see Him. Don't you want to see Him tonight? Amen, don't you just, when we read this, Mary, you just kind of in your mind imagine what in the world is that day going to be like? Amen, and then we started the service with victory in Jesus. Amen, I heard about a mansion He has, amen, built for me in glory. Amen. And I heard about the streets of gold. Amen. And some day, amen, we're going to be there. Ain't that going to be a blessing? Amen. When we finally get to see the One who is responsible, amen, for every victory we had ever had. Amen. And we'll fall on our face on the other side. And we ought to do it tonight. Amen. Saying, I want to thank Him. Amen. Because He not only has won the victory. Amen. He shared with us the spoils of that victory. And we can have joy. Amen. Christine said tonight we can have peace. Amen. You know why? Because Jesus is on the throne. The coronation He has presented. Do you realize? Amen. Whatever has you trembling, whatever has you discouraged, amen, whatever has us, amen, down and out and even weary and well doing tonight, do you realize the antidote to all of that is to see that Christ is on the throne and that He's ruling and reigning, and what we're worried about, He's not worried about. Is anything too hard for God? Absolutely not. He rules and reigns in triumphal procession. Amen. And so they're thanking Him. Amen. Crying out, Thou art worthy, O Lord. Amen. You are victorious and You have shared with us Your victory. Now, this matter of His worthiness, let me give you three statements and I'll be done. Number one, amen, this coronation He presents, we find He is worthy of our reverent response. When they see Him, it's interesting to me that, amen, there is a line of things that takes place, and we can connect some dots in chapter 4 to chapter number 5. And these 24 elders, they're in their seats around the throne. They see and hear these four beasts and all that's going on there. They see and hear the glory and honor and the thanks that the beasts are giving. These are created angelic beings that, amen, really, amen, they don't have as much to be thankful for as the redeemed of God do. Amen. And so they are inspired by, amen, they are inspired by what these beasts are saying and what these beasts are doing. And so what do? They give a reverent response. Amen. I think maybe they say something like this. Ain't no angel gonna be more thankful than I am. Amen. And they respond reverently. How do they do that? Amen. Well, they do it by falling upon, Amen. The Bible said, and the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne. Amen. They take their rightful place. They say, we're not even worthy to sit in his presence. Amen. He is worthy and we must fall down before him. That is, they put their knee in the dirt. They put their face to the ground. And Brother Larry, they are recognizing, are reverently responding to the one who is worthy. Amen. And all of this, John said, is worship. And worship him that liveth forever and ever. Amen. And so can we say tonight, amen, that he is worthy of our reverent response. If you ever see, amen, if you ever really truly see that Jesus is Lord, and you get a glimpse of him sitting on the throne, amen, it'll spark some worship out of your heart and out of your life, because you'll realize he's worthy. We're not. He's worthy. Not the preacher, not the church, not, amen, the politician of our favorite flavor. Oh no, friend, it is the one who's ruling over it all. He is the one that deserves a reverent response. Chapter number 10, or chapter number 4, verse number 10. Amen. The redeemed are inspired by the four beasts, but when you come to the end of chapter number 5, amen, you got them redeemed of God singing and worshiping and praising. Brother Mark, you talk about chapter 5. I won't go through all of it. Them 24 elders absolutely get caught up in the thrill of heaven. Notice verse 14. Well, look in verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard us saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Now we come back to four beasts, and the four beasts said, amen. In other words, they were the ones who seemed to have inspired the redeemed of God. Then they kind of pause, Brother Mike, and they look around, and rather they're watching all the redeemed of God are doing. Amen. How excited they are, how they're acknowledging the worthiness of the Lord upon the throne. Amen. And all they can do is sit back and say, amen. Amen. He is worthy. He should be praised this way. He should be thanked in this way. Amen. They should be responding the way they are to him. Amen. And so there is the matter that he is worthy of our reverent response. Number two, he is worthy of our returned reward. So what do you mean? The Bible said, and cast their crowns before the throne. In other words, we find in chapter 4, verse number 4, these 24 elders, they had on their heads crowns, plural, crowns of gold. Crowns of gold. And we understand the timeline the Word of God gives us in our study. Amen. At the rapture of the church, the saved, they'll go to the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, and there we'll give an account of what we did with the salvation that Christ gave to us. Amen. And there we'll be judged for our works and our faithfulness and our service for the Lord. Amen. We'll be judged for how that we looked for and loved His appearing. We'll be judged. Amen. For our burden for souls and what we did to see sinners brought in the family of God. Amen. We'll be judged for our faithfulness and how that we serve the Lord. Amen. Through hardship and inconveniences. And on and on and on. I believe these 5 different crowns that can be won. Amen. And those rewards will be given to you and I at the Bema Seat. When the Bema Seat is over, the redeemed of God are going together around His throne together. Amen. And when we get there, John said, we're going to cast our crowns if we've won any. Amen. If we wear any, if we, amen, through Christ have, amen, gained any. Amen. The Bible said, John said, when they realize how worthy he is, They're going to take the crowns off of their head and they're going to cast them at his feet. And why are they doing that? I think the answer is pretty simple. Hey man, if you think about it, what they're saying is, hey man, you gave us this for our burden and our faithfulness and our service and our love for your appearing. But the fact of the matter is, if you take you out of our life, hey man, we could have never done this. Hey man, and so they are returning their reward to the one who really is deserving of it. Amen. And so don't think that you and I really deserve anything tonight. I am looking for a well done, thou good and faithful servant. I am trying to live a life. Amen. Whereby we maybe can earn a crown or two along the way. Amen. But I believe when we get on the other side, amen, we'll really truly understand, amen, what Jesus said in his earthly life. Without me, you can do nothing. Amen. And all the souls we've ever seen saved, and all the days we stayed in the fight when it would have been easy to bail out. Amen. And all the way to the coming of Christ and the end of our days upon earth. And we long to see him and we loved his appearing. Amen. When we get to the other side, we'll have to say, amen, without you, Lord, we could have done nothing. Amen. And we'll have to say, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. Amen. You're the one worthy to wear any crown. Amen. You may have helped us earn this. You may have given us this. But the fact of the matter is, amen, we're so unworthy. We dare not even try to wear a crown in your presence. Amen. And listen, they acknowledge that he is worthy of our returned reward. Now, I will say that ought to begin in this hour in which we're living. Amen. It's amazing the pride that we live in for the accolades of men and the rewards and awards and name recognition. You realize if you take Christ out of your life, you're still a big zero and a sinner headed for hell. Amen. Without him, I can't even stand on my own two feet. Without him, I can't sing. Without him, I cannot preach. Without him, I cannot be a blessing if I am along the way. Amen. Without him, I'd have bailed out a long time ago. Amen. And so it behooves us. It stirs and inspires us tonight as we think about the one that is on the throne. Amen. It's the one that is working in and through and by our life. And if we do anything, when accomplish anything, that is not, amen, for our own applause, but that is for us to find an occasion to lift our hands and say, I just want to thank God that he could do anything with somebody like me. Amen. He's worthy of our reminiscent recognition. Verse 11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You know what they're just simply thanking him for as he presents himself in coronation? When they get a glimpse of him, Brother Jesse, they realize who he is. They realize that he is the creator and they are the creation. That makes him the greater and us the lesser. And because he's the greater and we're the lesser, then it's just right, since he gave us life and gave us breath and gave us being, that we would then in turn use that breath to simply say, thank you. Amen. When's the last time you just began to reminisce? And then that reminiscence recognized who the Lord was. He more than the old man upstairs. He's more than, mythical Greek depiction of a God floating on a cloud. You do realize that, right? He is the God who gave you every breath you breathe today. Seems like we could use a few of them through the day to say,
thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Lord, thank you. I know we can't just walk around all day doing that. I know there's things He's given us a life to live, but you'd think, Brother Jesse, in the mornings when we roll out of the bed and we've had, amen, even a few hours of sleep and we awake with a sound mind, that when our feet hit the floor, we go, thank you, Lord. Yes. Amen. Amen. Couldn't we use a few of them breaths He's given us as our Creator to say, I want to recognize you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.